Hi, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 6th of May. The Mad Hot Ballroom Dance and Tap Competition is taking place Saturday. This is a must-see event at 1 p.m. at the Bradley Center in Milwaukee. It's featuring three pairs of ballroom dancers and six individual tap dancers from each of the participating schools. And I got to tell you, there are a lot of schools participating this year. Semifinals scheduled for 3:30, finals at 5 o'clock. There is no charge. It is the second annual Mad Hot Ballroom and Tap Competition. Maybe you saw the movie. It's a wonderful movie that got this whole movement started. And it will place more than 2,000 elementary and middle school students in the spotlight as they do the foxtrot, as they do the cha-cha, as they tap dance. It all began last year as a way to teach students the fundamentals of ballroom dance and tap. And arts education now has become so popular in this city that it has expanded from its three initial pilot schools to 42 schools. The executive dance director of DanceWorks has said that it really does a great deal in improving grades, attendance, and discipline. And so we're going to talk about this wonderful program. I wish we could just be on television for a while and they could dance for us, but I guess we'll just have to talk about dancing. Deborah Ferris is the executive director of DanceWorks. Deborah, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Kathleen.
And Mario Costantini is DanceWorks board member. Thank you, Mario, so much for being with us.
Good morning.
So this isn't a statewide thing yet. This is in Milwaukee.
Correct.
And you have all these schools participating. It's a huge event now in 2 years. Why did it grow so much?
I think because it's fun. I have to say that, you know, we try and be intellectual about it and can be artsy-fartsy, but bottom line is it's fun, and it makes the kids happy, it makes the teachers happy, and the principals love happy teachers and students.
And it's had remarkable effects on attendance, on grade point averages. Why is that?
Well, in addition to being fun, as Deb said, that's the primary reason that I think that it's become so popular, but it also has shown in schools that have been tracking it that kids are happier about coming to school. Their attendance has gone up. Their grades have gone up. Discipline problems have gone down. And, you know, we have spent a lot of time trying to figure out why is that. And it's the case. And we're having a two-year study now by a professor at Marquette University to have more scientific data on that. But we're not sure why it is having all those effects. Last week there was a spot on NBC about Parkinson's patients, ballroom dancing, and how ballroom dancing improves the symptoms for Parkinson's patients. And scientists are not quite sure why that happens, but it definitely does happen. And I think that's an analogy for our program.
Mm-hmm. So I think there's a universality about it. We've heard the same thing for manic depressive individuals, that when they're ballroom dancing, they are on top of the world and don't need to take their meds when they're involved with it. And I don't want to put that message out there, but we see a real change in the chemistry makeup of who we are as individuals when you move and when you connect with other human beings. And I think that that's the real essence of dance, and particularly ballroom dance, and then not to mention tap, with the rhythm that you send right through your body by the connection of the your body to the earth.
Yeah. And I've also heard, not the dance part, or maybe this is true for Alzheimer's patients, if you hear music, you can remember words to songs, and it really wakes up parts of your brain that have been dormant for a long period of time.
Right. We found, too, that with the special ed students, that they have excelled in this situation. And it's partly, I think, because they're in a situation where everyone's on equal playing ground, mm-hmm. if you may, mm-hmm. and they have... We found teachers have said that they have come into their own in throughout this experience. So something about it that's fairly magical, I think.
Before we started, we chatted with some of the New York City teachers that were featured in the Mad Hot Ballroom movie, and they told us stories about kids in classes who had learning disabilities, who were doing terribly in school, and that those kids were the ones that responded the best. And in fact, oftentimes they were the ones that were selected to go into the final competition because they were the best dancers. And frankly, when I heard that, I thought, it sounds too good to be true. It's right. Just a little dancing program. But we found that to be the case. In fact, some of the kids that are going into the finals right now are kids that teachers worried about that they could dance at all, and yet they responded so well. They're the ones that are the best in their school now and are going to the finals. So it's been a remarkable trip for the last year when we started the program.
Yeah. How do you get, I talk to my son, or you talk to my husband for that matter too, but they won't dance, I mean, I love to dance. I used to dance all the time. Yeah. But somehow it's just not cool to be a dancer. You don't want to learn how to dance. How did you get kids so excited about dancing?
Well, when I was a kid at that age, if I would have expressed an interest in ballroom dancing, I probably would have gotten beat up on the playground. And,
yeah.
And we're in a different time and place. I'm not sure if it's because we show them the movie, the Manhunt Ballroom movie first, or because they see Dancing with the Stars on television, or what it is, but it is the coolest thing for them to be ballroom dancers. I think they think of it as being very grown up.
And we don't give them a choice. I mean, they have to do it.
Right.
So it starts, I think it's that they're given a few simple steps. In ballroom, they're given a partner. They're told to look eye to eye, and that lasts for about 3 seconds, and they fall on the floor laughing. And so you have a situation where you can do almost anything with them. Right. They're open at that point.
In the beginning, as Deb said, this is a mandatory program. Everybody in the class does it. So, it's not like we ask for volunteers. And in the beginning, it's hard for kids to hold each other, in the respectful way and look at each other in their eyes. And that's very tough the first couple of weeks. Once they get over that, though, then it's magic after that point. And I think there's a thrill for them in sixth grade and fifth grade to be dancing with somebody of the opposite sex. It's a fun thing for them to do, like it was for us when we were kids and we could go to CYO dances or those kind of things. Kids don't have a lot of those opportunities now, and maybe that's another reason that the program is so successful with kids.
Yeah, there aren't many dances anymore. It's true. We used to have them all the time.
Right.
How do they pick their partners? Do you have to have somebody you get along with, or you just
pair
people? No, they
rotate. Everybody has to dance with everybody.
Oh.
So that's part of the charm.
Uh-huh.
Helps the classroom situation as well. They kind of have to work through things with each other.
And the teacher has to be involved as well. If we were just looking to develop the best dancers for competition, of course, you'd want just one couple to stay together the whole 10 weeks.
Yes.
But that's not what we're after. We want them to be able to relate to every other person of the opposite sex in the classroom. And so we make them rotate partners all the time. And it's very helpful.
And ultimately, we want to make the classroom experience better. It's great if we got dancers out of it, but that certainly isn't our goal. I think to bring out the creative spirit in the students is wonderful, and it's something that is becoming tougher and tougher to do today. But our goal is really to bring that student out of whatever is stopping him from being all he can be today.
Mm-hmm. And it's also true that young people like to move. They sit at these darn desks all day and take, notes. And it seems to me as though I'm that way. I don't like to sit at my desk all afternoon and take notes. I got to move around, get a cup of coffee, go outside, take a walk. That some students learn a lot better if there's movement involved in their learning, right?
Right.
Right. And I think one other benefit that we hear a lot from students and teachers is that this is something most students would not have tried on their own. Okay, so it's a new thing, and then they find out 2-3 weeks into it that they really like it. And so I think in their mind they're thinking, boy, maybe I should try new things because I didn't think I was going to like this, but now I love it. And so it's a very important kind of life lesson. Many of the kids will say things like, in the competitions, they'll say things like, this is the best day of my life. We hear those kind of comments frequently, or parents saying, this is the best thing my child has ever done.
Oh, my.
And to step up to a goal, to have a goal, and to rise to that occasion, and to maybe get where you wanted to, and maybe not get to where you wanted to, but to learn how to deal with that in a safe, supportive situation, I think is really invaluable for our students.
Now, you do tap dancing and ballroom dancing.
Correct.
Who does what? Younger students?
Fourth and fifth grades have the opportunity of choosing tap. And then fifth or sixth the school can select fifth or sixth grade for the ballroom.
Mm-hmm.
And ideally, we wanted it to be consecutive, so we introduced tap first with rhythm and simple dance discipline, and then add on the component of dancing with a partner the second year. So that was the theory behind that.
Mm-hmm.
Although we found that tap can be much more challenging and much more skill-based than ballroom. But that's great, too. They have that to go into the next program then, or to take into the classroom with them as well.
Hmm. They probably like the sound, too, at the younger age, right? Mm-hmm. The tap dancing sound is a pretty neat sound.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll be miking the stage at the
Bradley Center. Oh, will you?
Yeah, we got to get that sound.
Yeah. Now, how are you involved in this? Do you teach all of these students from DanceWorks?
Yes, or? Mario and I handle all 42 schools. We're great at the salsa, huh, Mario?
Right. No, actually, we have our hands full. We're working 6-7 days a week just to manage the program and raise the money. Some schools can afford it, some schools can't, and so a lot of our time we spend trying to convince people to back our program and managing the program. You know, we have 27 instructors.
Mm-hmm.
We have 27 instructors who we hire and train and supervise to go into all the schools, and really at the heart of everything is the quality of that instructor and their relationship with the kids. They, you know, most of them develop a very strong emotional bond with the kids, and it's very important for us that happens and that we leverage their interest in dance with other things in school, doing well in school, you know, attendance and all the other things that go with it. And respect. I think, you know, one of the most important things that we can teach in this program is that kids learn to respect each other, and it does happen.
Do you have to be a terrific dancer to be a teacher? You don't.
Oh, well, no. You don't. And we look for teachers that have that connection to the students. That's what's most important, to be able to really connect with the person. And the steps we can teach in ballroom. In tap, we provide training at more intense level because you can imagine the rhythms are skills that are developed. With ballroom, the steps are kept simple, but it's what you add to it, I think,
right,
that really sells it. So it's that student opening up his creative spirit and just having the time of his life. That's mm-hmm. what makes it really, really wonderful.
And how long a program is it? Is it all year or a semester?
It's currently only a 10-week program. And so it's kind of a model, you could say, similar to Dancing with the Stars, where you have a very short period of time to learn a lot of information. And so it's a 10-week program. They only have 20 lessons over those 10 weeks, twice a week. And they learn to dance three ballroom dances. This year we're doing cha-cha,
swing,
and foxtrot. Last year we did tango, salsa, and rumba.
And don't forget tap. You keep forgetting
tap.
Amy will kill you.
Okay.
Our lead tap teacher.
And then after 10 weeks, you know, you compete. Now, next year we may expand that a little bit longer period of time. We're debating on those things. But it's a very short program. One great thing about this year that I want to mention is that this year the competition is at the Bradley Center, and it's free. And it's free. You know, there's not too many family events that are free. This is a great contribution from Time Warner Cable and the Bradley Center. They're sponsoring the event, and we're very grateful to them that the whole city can come to this for free.
Oh, I hope you get a huge audience. It'll just be a delightful thing to watch, I'm sure. Just delightful. When you said some schools can afford this and some can't, how does that work?
What we ask of the schools is that they cover the expense of the teacher, just the teacher. DanceWorks raises the funds or used earned income to cover all of the rest, the tap shoes, which alone are $12,000, and everything else you can imagine that goes into the program. If the school can't afford that, we raise the funds to do that, either through individual sponsorships of the school or through foundation funding that we've raised.
Mm-hmm.
The cost is pretty small if you divide it up per child. It's about $75 for the 10-week program for one child. So it's a very little cost for the great value that we get out of it. We have had tremendous demand for our program, not just in Milwaukee.
I guess.
We have had demand from many other cities in the United States. They want us to take the program there. And it may be that in a few years we'll be ready to license it to other cities so that they can do the program also through nonprofit agencies like DanceWorks.
You can imagine our focus now is on Milwaukee and providing the best program that we can for our schools and our youth here. So when we get to the point where we're showing that, yes, this is working, this is effective, it's a solid program, we'll be in a better position to talk to other cities about it as well.
Well, you had to take on an awful lot of growth in a short period of time, didn't you?
Yes.
From just a few schools to 42 schools this year?
Yes.
And DanceWorks isn't that large of an organization. It's a tribute to a team of, you know, team effort, good staff, good board, and good passion, really believing in what we're doing and how we can work together to do it with very few resources, really. We got great people on board from the very beginning, community-wide, that saw the value of the program and stepped right up saying, yes, we want to help you with this. So it's how we're working together as a community that it's really being successful. Without that, DanceWorks wouldn't be able to do it, or any nonprofit.
Right.
And there's one more ditto to everything that Deb said, but there's one more thing that made us grow very quickly, and that was the Mad Hot Ballroom movie that existed, because that allowed us to take somebody that movie and say, here, watch this movie. We want to do this in Milwaukee. If that movie didn't exist, it would be a much harder, longer explanation and sell than once they watched that video. I think Deb and I saw the movie about a year and a half, 2 years ago. I think it was at the Oriental or the Downer, and we thought this is the best statement that anyone has ever made about how valuable the arts can be, especially to Central City kids who maybe don't have a dozen different activities like suburban kids might have. And so in the movie, you see how dancing becomes their reason for getting up in the morning and going to school, and their reason for living. And that's what's happened in our program. But the existence of that movie really made it much easier for us to expand the program as quickly as we have.
Yeah.
And in the classroom, too, the students watch the film before they go into the actual program, and that helps as well.
I'm sure it does. How do they calm their nerves? Some of these young people must be pretty nervous about dancing in front of a lot of people this weekend, aren't they?
Yes, they are. They're extremely nervous.
Isn't that a great lesson, though? Don't you wish you would have been thrown to the wolves like that? I mean, in terms of the way we are as adults, having public speak or do whatever you have to do to have that experience under your belt. I performed at the Bradley Center. I mean, what can challenge you beyond that?
Sure. that we hear that a lot from little kids. They're so worried that they're going to forget a step or something like that, and it happens, and that's winning, losing, all that's all wonderful, especially when you can do it at that age. You can have, as Deb says, that experience at a very early age, so it's not so scary when you're 16 or 18 or 50 to do that.
But to care about it that much, to be nervous, to really value what your new skill, and then to be able to share it and to be nervous, that's wonderful. It's a human condition. And so we've got to learn how to deal with that.
Yeah. And it will probably, if it gets big enough, expand to a whole new social life for young people. They'll go ballroom dancing, right? Yes. There'll be centers opening up for people to dance.
We have many kids that want to continue dancing. So we have a phase two for those kids that tell us, well, we don't want this to stop. We want it to continue. And so we've had to, come up with a way to keep those kids happy as well. We hope that we can continue to expand it. There's a key to starting when they're in middle school. But we'll probably expand it in both directions, younger and older, as time goes on.
We'll talk about what that key is to middle school in a moment. And welcome phone calls. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. Many of you, I'm sure, saw that Mad Hot Ballroom Dance movie. If you haven't, it's a really great movie. And because of the inspiration from that film, our guests put together this program that started last year with just a couple schools here in Milwaukee, and it's now 42 schools. The finals are this Saturday. It's totally free for those of you who are in the Milwaukee area. What a wonderfully inspirational thing to do. 1 o'clock at the Bradley Center. It will feature three pairs of ballroom dancers and six individual tap dancers from each of the participating schools. Semifinals are at 3:30, the finals at 5 o'clock, and there is absolutely no charge. It is the second annual Mad Hot Ballroom and Tap Competition. Call us. We'd like to hear from you. 800-486-8655. Deborah Ferris is Executive Director of DanceWorks. They've raised the money and coordinated this now massive program in Milwaukee. Mario Costantini is DanceWorks board member. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, 414-227-2050. And I think our email is working here, too. It is. We already have an email. That's talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Let's start our calls with Dia, I believe it is, from Burlington. Hi, Dia.
Hi.
Hi.
When I heard your guest speaking today, I was really excited. I just want to, put a little plug in. I'm a dance movement therapist, and the idea is just what they're speaking about, except we address many other concerns outside of school. And it's the idea of the integration of the body and the mind to promote physical as well as mental healing. And it's an expressive modality that, you know, we use it as a therapeutic intervention. Sometimes people don't find the greatest results with talk therapy, and it's just another modality of treatment. Actually in Madison, the UW used to have a program certifying dance movement therapists. They do no longer, but there is a Hancock House, which provides treatment to, particularly to victims of domestic violence and children who come out of those kinds of families. And so I'm such a strong proponent of this idea, and I'm so happy to hear that it's in the Milwaukee schools.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling. Deborah.
Yes, I agree with you completely. And I think that it's there's something about movement that words can't cover. And to not have the opportunity to move is just very inhibiting. And, you know, not only to move, but to watch movement. And I think that you can really connect to the world in new ways by watching movement alone. And it can connect to you much more fully than any words could ever possibly do.
Mario.
Yes. My daughter is a college student and called me a few weeks ago, very excited. She said she had just seen a documentary called War Dance, and it was about children, refugee children in Africa who had gone through some tremendous hardships and were now part of a national dance competition. And she said it was exactly the same things we talk about, but in Africa with kids who had lost their parents, who had terrible tragedies in their life, but how dance was bringing them back to normality.
Wonderful stories. Here's an email. I was a fat kid and taller than any boy in my class. We were forced to square dance. That's what we did, too, in middle school with square dance. And I used to burn with shame when some little boy was forced to be my partner. I was great at athletics and physically strong, but definitely not graceful. I still remember the humiliation. What do you do with kids like me, Virginia?
Aww.
We're all teary-eyed here with this.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't know that we haven't seen that. Have you seen anybody who feels that way? We all the kids we've seen are so excited to be out there. I have not seen anybody who's felt intimidated. We don't force anybody to be there, by the way. If they don't want to be publicly compete or anything, they don't have to do it. But
we at DanceWorks would never be proponents of having to look a certain way to dance. And in the classroom, I think that what you were feeling with your size, every individual has their their camel on their back. Yeah. And it's how, you know, we are accepting of each other and learn to respect each other that is most valuable. And that's something that through ballroom dancing and working with a partner, I think more so than square dancing where you're going around in that round and under and over, you have to tackle a little bit more fully. And I think it's that experience of dancing with that partner that you find the acceptance as well, you know? Mm-hmm. Because you both are carrying whatever it is you're carrying. We all have something.
Right. I remember my mom chose to chaperone those square dances that we had, and that was the problem for me. Mom, do you have to be at the square dance, you know? God bless her. Now I'm happy that she was so involved, but at the time it was an embarrassment.
Yeah. There was another element that maybe plays into this. You know, we do this both in exhibition and competition. And so the class is competing as a team in this competition for the best school, and also there's individual competitions. And so when they compete as a team, they all help each other.
Right,
they all want to make the other person better. And so maybe that lessens those kind of feelings of inferiority or, you know, I don't look the right way or something, because, you know, it's a very collaborative sort of effort with all the students and with including the teacher also. We make the teacher all be part of it, learn the steps, and, you know, it bonds the students together and with the teacher as well.
Yeah. So do you get a big trophy you put on display?
Yes.
In the
giant
school?
Trophy, yes.
And then you have to give it away at the end of the year, because it goes to the next school that
right.
will win. It passes
right.
around the city. But we have come up with trophies that we take and replace that with. We decided to do that this
good.
Year.
That's good. I like that. Let's go to Sarah from Milwaukee. Hi, Sarah.
Yes?
Hi.
Hi.
Go right ahead, Sarah.
Hi, I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I'm listening to you guys. What a wonderful program DanceWorks sounds like that you're doing in the Central City, and I would love to be part of this.
Well, call us.
I actually am on ballroom. I've been ballroom dancing for about a year, and I just think that it's awesome. So I would love to know how to get involved.
Well, we were speaking earlier that our teachers have come to us because of the connection that they have to the program, and our most valuable teachers are those teachers with that connection. And so you have already passed, you know, that major part of your audition. So give DanceWorks a call.
Yeah.
Great. So when do I start?
No. Do you have a website or something people can go to? Or?
Sure. www.dancework1661.org.
1661.org.
And our phone is 414-277-8480. And my extension is 6000 if she wanted to speak to me directly.
Okay. Did you get all that?
Okay. Actually, what's the phone number one more time?
414-277-8480. 8480.
The extension again?
I'm sorry?
The extension.
Your extension again?
6000.
That sounds wonderful. Thank you so much.
All right.
I'm speaking with you.
Okay, thank you. Got another volunteer, it appears. Paul from Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi there.
Hi, Paul. Hi.
I am a Spanish teacher at a private school here in Milwaukee, and my students are very conservative in nature, so anything I can ever do to get them up and involved in the class, I take full advantage of it. Recently, there was a reading in our textbook about the tango, and I thought, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if I actually got them up dancing the tango? I don't ballroom dance myself. I went to the library and checked out just a simple DVD on basic tango steps. And you should have seen their faces when, after we did this reading about the tango, we watched a clip from the Sara film called Tango. And they were intrigued, but when I said we're going to dance ourselves, they were a little trepidatious about it. But once I got them up and moving and made them step out of their comfort zone a little bit, mm-hmm. It was a really, really amazing experience. So much so, the next day they asked me if they could do it again. So,
wonderful.
I guess it somehow worked. But I totally agree with what you said earlier about getting the students to step out of their comfort zones. Mm-hmm. And what a better way than just to stand up and move your body, because they compete with their brains all day so much, and there's so much competition about grades that to forget all of that and actually show what you can do on the dance floor was refreshing as a teacher to see.
Mm-hmm. Well, I grew up in Argentina, and I came here when I was 10. But so I grew up seeing people dance tango at weddings and on the streets, and just like you would see people dancing polka here in Milwaukee. And when we first started this program, I was shocked to hear from teachers and principals that kids were, especially, you know, minority kids, were dancing tango on the playground on their own. I thought that was a sight that I would have never believed, that they would have liked it so much that instead of playing basketball or dodgeball, they would be dancing tango on the playground.
Really?
That was an unbelievable sight, and we have a little DVD that shows up.
Swear words in Spanish. That's all they ever remember, is the swear words you teach them. So I'm hoping that perhaps this is something they'll stick in their heads. Even if they can't conjugate verbs, at least they can dance a tango at a wedding, hopefully.
Well, again, call us at DanceWorks, and we'll be happy to include you when we have room, and I'll be happy to even come out and speak to your students personally.
That'd be great.
Oh, I would absolutely take you up on that. Thank you for that offer.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Paul. We have lines open now if you'd like to join us. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. 227-2050 if you're joining us in Milwaukee. We're talking about the program put together here in Milwaukee by DanceWorks, and they're having their Mad Hot Ballroom Dance and Tap competition this Saturday at the Bradley Center in Milwaukee. This program has grown enormously over the last year. They have now 42 schools, and I'm sure next year there'll be requests for even more schools. And what they're seeing is that the students are showing great delight in coming to school, that the discipline problems are fewer, the grades are better, the attendance is up, and the students have really taken to this. And maybe even most important is that there's a greater respect that they have for each other, which is a good thing. Another email. I grew up in a tough blue-collar city in Massachusetts. There was an older woman named Miss Joyce who used to volunteer her time to teach us how to dance. This was in 77, 78. She was way ahead of her time. Miss Joyce was a snappy, vivacious woman, and we loved her. We learned the Charleston, the Foxtrot, and other traditional forms of dance. It did wonders for our self-esteem and taught us discipline. I'm glad this has grown in popularity again. Larry from Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Yay, Miss Joyce.
Yeah, really, really.
Wherever you are. Thank you.
Yeah, it's great. Steve from Fish Creek, hi.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
I was logged on to Spark last night, and I saw this wonderful teacher out in San Francisco who's teaching Brazilian dancing. It's definitely sensual, exciting, use your whole body. And I'm wondering if anybody in Wisconsin or if DanceWorks is doing anything with Brazilian dance, and I'll sign off and just listen. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
No, we're not. We're not, but that's not to say we couldn't. Yeah. Thank you for your suggestion.
All right. Well, what about doing this? You pick a certain age group, fourth, fifth graders, middle school students. Why not high school students? Are they too old? Are they too many hormones raging or what?
In New York, maybe a dozen years ago, they started the program actually with high school students. If you see the movie Take the Lead with Antonio Banderas, that's what that movie's about. But in reality, that was a Hollywood version. The documentary version that you see with Manhattan Ballroom starts with middle school kids. In reality, when they started the program in New York City with high school kids, they had to stop the program after 10 weeks or 3 weeks, was it? Something?
Several weeks. Yeah,
several weeks, because the high school kids by that time are just too cool for school, and it doesn't work. But if you start them in fourth and fifth grade, just like many other things in life, you know, literacy and many other things follow the same sort of pattern. If you can get to the kids while they're still in middle school, you can then shape them much easier, and they'll continue dancing then through high school. But if you try to start in high school, it's very, very difficult to do. And the superintendent of public schools told us that was a fork in the road for many kids was middle school, and that's the point. That's when you really have the last opportunity to really make a strong effect in their life. If you miss that boat, it gets harder and harder as they get into high school. It's not hopeless, but it just gets harder. That's why we decided to do fourth, fifth, and sixth grade. And as I said, we may expand into other grades in the future. We have our hands full right now.
I'll bet you do have your hands full.
I think there's a lot of choice, too, once you get into high school with dance in general. Throughout my career, I have found that once students reach that age, you lose them to soccer or to whatever else they're involved in. And not to say that they can't come back around again in college. I teach ballet through UWM, and students are so grateful to be able to have that opportunity, something that they always wanted to do and couldn't and then thought that it was too late, but it's never too late. So you just have to get through those, you know, those 4 years, us and parents together, as we don't recognize the look in our kids' eyes when they look at us, you know.
The reason that Deb and I started this program is because we wanted to help kids in the Central City. That was the main reason that we both agreed that we should do this. We think that we do that best if we include all kids, so that we have suburban kids, private schools, public schools, and so on, that they all come together, that it's not a segregated program.
Good for you.
Where was I going with that?
I don't know. But what I want to say to that is that you know,
picked it up right away. He missed a step, and she picked it up right away. See her dance.
We have a lot of questions about why are you doing the suburbs. They have everything. They have all the opportunity. Why would you pull those in? And for the reason that Mario just mentioned. But what we found is that the program is very self-selecting, and that the students that do have the fewest resources are the ones that value the program and then take part of it in the best. Otherwise, they don't really have time for it. So.
Right.
It's been great.
I remembered. Okay. And we think that, you know, most of the problems which cities like Milwaukee have are related to what happens with kids in the first 18 years. So, you know, if they drop out of high school, if they become teen parents, if they get involved in drugs, it's very hard after that point to fix it. Much easier to fix it in the beginning of the line. And so this is what we thought our organization could do. We do a little bit. We think that all of us in the city need to do their part to be able to turn the problems around in our city. But this is what we thought DanceWorks could do to help Central City kids to break out of their, you know, to climb out of the of their problems that they
right.
have. So
right. Which is one of the joys about that film, because it is based in New York with New York public schools, and it's just such a mixture of humanity, which is that's the way this country ought to be. Mm-hmm. It ought to be that it isn't as segregated as it is, and you know, I think it's great to bring in people from all different kinds of backgrounds, mm-hmm. but concentrate on those who don't have very much.
We all live in our bubbles, you know.
Yes, even
kids who go to the best private schools in the city, they also live in their own bubbles, and it's very healthy for all of us to get out of our bubbles, meet people from other parts of the city, other parts of the world.
Yeah, Jane from Milwaukee. Hi.
Good morning.
Hi, Jane.
I attended last year at the Bradley Center and just wanted to encourage everyone to go. It is the most joyous afternoon that you can spend watching these kids. Seriously, I was laughing so hard I was sobbing.
Aww.
Because they're adorable and they're all obviously, you know, doing their best and really putting it on for such a big crowd of people, and I just would love to see everybody come out and support them because they're just so sweet.
I know, and they're so dressed up, I'm sure, too. And
oh, yeah, and to just see them, you know, the little fifth graders who look so mature, or they're trying to look so mature when they're doing these dances. You walk out of there, you're just going to feel so good, really, and you're probably going to want to take dance lessons, and that's probably good,
yes.
too. So.
Yes, I got it on my calendar. I wouldn't miss it. Sounds great.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you.
Are you coming this Saturday?
Absolutely, I'll be there.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Beverly from Franklin, hi.
Yes, good morning. I think this is just wonderful. However, my son is physically handicapped, and he's in a wheelchair. And I do see the benefit of any type of movement for him. You know, if he can get up and standing out of his wheelchair, or if they take him in gym class and they move him around, mm-hmm. it's such a benefit. His attention is better. His outlook is better. So I was wondering if DanceWorks had addressed anything with children with physical handicaps.
Well, we haven't yet specifically with children. We do an intergenerational multi-arts project where we match up senior county sites with MPS schools. And as we are looking at ways to integrate the two programs, we are now incorporating tap dance for those individuals in wheelchairs, so that can certainly be translated to students as well.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
We actually were discussing this a few weeks ago. We saw I don't remember what show it was, 2020, or one of those shows had little girls, especially ballerinas, who were doing the Nutcracker, and they also were handicapped in wheelchairs and so on. And with the help of teenage ballerinas who weren't handicapped, they were able to do the Nutcracker, and it was very touching. And we thought, gee, maybe in the future we can think of a way that we can have children with handicaps participate in our program also.
Mm-hmm. We absolutely want to embrace that. We have found that we can't do everything, and so we've mm-hmm. had to focus on the areas that we can best utilize our resources. But that is definitely not to say that we wouldn't want to find ways to integrate that as well.
Mm. I'm sorry,
one more comment. We do have children currently in many of our schools that have learning disabilities, emotional disabilities, some of them who can't be touched because they get very unhappy if someone touches them. And so we're working on, you know, how can we get other individuals who have expertise in that area come into the classroom and help with those children so that they can also participate.
Great. Thanks so much for your call. We go next to Sharon from Glendale. Hi, Sharon.
Hi.
Hi.
I love the idea of your program, what you were talking about before with special needs children. I have an 8.5-year-old son who's on the autism spectrum. He gets very, very dejected mm-hmm. with academics because it's so hard for him. Mm-hmm. But he does have a natural ability in dance and music. But we're in Glendale. We're not in Milwaukee. So do you have a way that I could have him participate in your program now? Or do I have to get the Glendale School District to, you know, try to get you in?
You know, what I would recommend, we're looking at the summer. We do summer creative arts camps for children 11 weeks of them, and we have had children with autism participate in that. And actually this summer we have a young woman who is now just graduating from college with autism, and she's coming back as an assistant and is very excited to be a part of the program. So that may be a way, if we could, you know, connect on that this summer and then look at where we could go in the future.
Mm.
Great. You're right. Your program sounds wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for your call. Mary Jo from Appleton is next. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hi. I think the program's great, too. But I do have to disagree about when we were talking about square dancing. I do think it falls into ballroom dancing, too. We did ballroom dancing when I was a kid, and I was the fat girl, the girl that was too tall. You put that girl with the shortest kid in the class, ballroom dancing, and that sticks out like a sore thumb.
Oh, but at this age group, it's you'll see that just about all of the girls are taller than the boys.
A lot taller, right.
And it's part of the charm, I have to say. You know, those boys stand up so straight to try and reach that head. I understand what you're saying, but it is a very common issue at this age grade. Mm-hmm. Age level.
I actually still have that problem. My wife and I dance tango, and she's taller than I am, so I've gotten over it.
Yeah. That was noticeable in the movie that came out, that almost all of the girls were much, much taller than the boys, and it didn't seem to affect them at all.
Some of them twice the height.
Yeah, uh-huh. Right. Thanks for the call. We'll take more phone calls in a moment. We're talking about the Mad Hot Ballroom Dance and Tap Competition and more broadly about the DanceWorks program, which is operating in schools in this area and has just really taken off. It's free this weekend. If you're looking for something to do this Saturday, it's at 1 p.m. at the Bradley Center in Milwaukee. Ballroom dancers, tap dancers will be there. Semifinals, 3:30. Finals at 5 o'clock. There is no charge. It's the second annual Mad Hot Ballroom and Dance Competition, and it all began last year as a way to teach students the fundamentals of ballroom dance and tap. The program became so popular it has expanded from its three initial pilot schools to 42, and now our guests are probably being bombarded with all kinds of other schools and would like to take it nationally. Our guests are Deborah Ferris, Executive Director of DanceWorks, Mario Costantini, who is DanceWorks board member. A couple lines are open if you'd like to join us, 800-486-8655, 227-2050 if you're in Milwaukee. And if you'd like to send an email, it's talk@wpr.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We return to your phone calls at 800-486-8655, 227-2050 in Milwaukee. Judith from Madison. Hi, Judith.
Hi, Kathleen. I just tuned in and realized what you were really talking about, not really talking about the film. And my daughter is the principal in New York City. She's the principal. If the school is 4 years old now, it is a middle school, Harbor Heights. It's part of the public school system. But it's all for newcomers, newcomers only. So these 6th, 7th, and 8th graders are very new to New York City in their lives and how they live and go to school. And she took the entire school to the film. And they won. You know, it was Washington Heights, not their school, but that was Washington Heights that wins in the film.
Right.
And those children are in the streets of Washington Heights. They do come from all over New York. They're newcomers, but mainly, and they're all speaking Spanish, regardless of, they have different countries, but primarily Dominican. So there they were. And they knew the kids from the streets, from the churches, from, you know, events. There was the big rock, you know, that they danced on, practiced on. That's up in Washington Heights.
Right.
They went home, back up, and they go by, you know, subway and train only. And she took them out. What she liked about the film was, again, those children, that school that won, went down on the train to the competition carrying their clothing. Mm-hmm. You know, other people came in cabs or however, school buses maybe, but her kids, not hers, but in that film, those children are carrying those carefully pressed clothes.
Yeah.
And the whole experience, and they signed a big poster, you know, all of the filmmakers and at the theater, and that was it posted in their school. But yes, that is amazing, and how it affects across the board, even seeing the film made it so electrifying. Aww. And that was them.
Yeah.
So she said they were up and down the halls. The teachers were trying to dance. I mean, they completely big success.
Yes, Mario?
Well, thank you. Yes. And we had the same sort of feelings as you have when we saw the movie. The woman who made the movie, Amy Sewell, she's a writer-producer of Mad Hot Ballroom, she was also instrumental in helping us get started in Milwaukee. She agreed. I called her and convinced her to come to Milwaukee and help us start it. So she came, and we played the movie to a large audience at the Marcus Center, and that's how we kicked off the program. Had she said no, that she was too busy or couldn't help us, maybe there would be no Manhattan Ballroom program in Milwaukee either. So that was another part of the puzzle. Many things came together. Deb thinks it was divine intervention. So we have different theories on that. But anyway, we're very happy that the program is going so well. And it is just like the movie. When you see the things that happen in the Mad Hat Ballroom movie, same sort of things happen every day in the schools. And we have 1,000 stories from parents, from teachers, from principals about how great the program is and how it affects individual kids.
Yeah. I thought that you know, it'd be great to have it in Milwaukee. And you saw the level of dancing, certainly, in the film. And I thought, there's no way our kids will be able to do that. And when I saw our students dance, I was just absolutely blown away. Mm-hmm. Blown away by what they are able to do in 10 weeks' time. Mm-hmm. So don't think you're just going to come and see, you know, some kind of second-class Mad Hot Ballroom. It's what the kids are able to do at any level in any city through the program.
Yeah, it's great. Thanks so much for the call. Kathy from La Crosse. Hi, Kathy.
Hello.
Hi.
I am so thrilled to hear about the program. I taught dance for 25 years at UW La Crosse.
Mm.
And usually by the time the students are, you know, university level, if they haven't had any dance, they don't want it. And I had an experience with one of the football stars who put off until his senior year coming to my dance class. First day of class, he walked up to me and, in a very intimidating manner, face to face, said, "I don't dance," and walked over and sat down. And I walked back over to him and got in his face and said, "You don't dance, you don't graduate."
Ooh.
Ooh.
He turned out to be the most marvelous dancer.
Right.
Halfway through, everybody wanted to dance with him. And he was just blushing when I told him how good he was. But I'm so glad you're getting kids involved with this at a younger age.
I just want to say I taught dance to football players and basketball players at UNC Chapel Hill. And one of my first classes, there were all these students hanging around outside the window as I was teaching the class. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, I must be really good teacher here. Look at everybody watching. I had Rick Fox and Scott Williams and King Rice in that class. And I have to say, they were just fabulous students. So I agree with what you're saying.
That's a great story. Another email: I would love to have this dancing program start all over the state. It would really help in the get moving and get in shape movement, don't you think?
We do. That's another element we haven't discussed, but it is very healthy for kids to get up and move. I'm not sure where the person is writing from, but we'll get there one of these days.
Dakota, Minnesota, actually.
Oh, well, yeah. We'll see. We have many, many calls from other cities as far south as Houston, St. Louis, Seattle, many cities that want the program. And we'll see whether we can package it in such a way that we can have another nonprofit agency in another city do what we're doing. That's what we'd like to do. Obviously, we can't. Our organization can't go national and do that. But we can teach others how to do what we're doing, and we're using the next year or two to get data and experiment with different variations of the program to get it just the way we like it.
Great. All right, give us details. What time is the show?
1 o'clock. Well, we have exhibition dancing beginning at 12.
Oh, you do?
12 to about 1:30. The mayor will be kicking it off at 1:30. And 3:30, we have the semifinals. And 5 o'clock are the finals.
Okay.
And I want to mention again, it's completely free, courtesy of Time Warner Cable and the Bradley Center. Not too many events in the city for families like this are free anymore. And they've been so generous to open this up to everybody. We have 18,000 seats, so I don't think we have any problems of having a full house. So you're all welcome to come. It's a great event, as a caller who was there last year can tell you. Bring tissues. Some people tend to cry during most of the competition. So,
I just want to add too, Bradley Center worked with us last year, and the staff at the Bradley Center is just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And the experience of coming to the Bradley Center is just one not to be missed for the staff alone.
Yeah.
If you want to see a little video, you can also turn to, if you have Time Warner Cable, you can go to channel 1111 and go to the kids section, and you'll see about a 10-minute video of our program. It's a very cute video, and it'll tell you all about what we do and how we do it.
Great. Thank you both so much for what you're doing. There's just so much enthusiasm for it. It's terrific. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Yeah. Thank you.
Our pleasure. Deborah Ferris, Executive Director of DanceWorks. Mario Costantini, who is DanceWorks board member. Their phone number, again, is 277-8480. And Deborah's extension is 6000 if you want to chat more about this. They may be pretty busy this week getting the whole performance together. Don't forget, Saturday, 1 o'clock, Bradley Center. It'll go on. Semifinals, 3:30. Finals at 5 o'clock. No charge. Great thing to do this Saturday. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour and to John Treader for our on-air production here in our studios in Milwaukee. Tomorrow at 9 o'clock, we'll be talking about the results of the North Carolina and Indiana primaries. E.J. Dionne is joining us at 10 o'clock talking about his new book. Thanks for listening. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.